From the pen of P.G. Woodhouse, this is What Ho Geez. Starring Richard Briers as Bertie Wooster and Michael Hordern as Jeeves, What Ho Jeeves was adapted and produced by the BBC. I'm your host, Fred Callant.
It's always the same when you're trying to tell a story. The dashed difficult problem of where to begin. I mean, if you fool about too long at the start trying to establish atmosphere and all that sort of rot, you fail to grip, and the customers walk out on you. Get off the mark, on the other hand, like a scalded cat, and your public is at a loss. It simply raises its eyebrows and can't make out what you're talking about. But I suppose the complex case of Gussie Finknottle, Madeline Bassett, my cousin Angela, my Aunt Dahlia, young Tuppy Glossop, and the cook Anatole, which I'm about to relate, may be said to have had its inception, if inception is the word I want, with that visit Aunt Dahlia, Angela, and I paid to Cannes at the beginning of June. For if I hadn't gone to Cannes, I wouldn't have met the aforementioned Bassett or bought that white mess jacket. Yes, most decidedly, Cannes was the point d'appui. Right-ho, then? Right. Let me marshal my facts. We stayed at Cannes about 2 months. And so it was that at 7:20 p.m. on July the 26th, I was standing on Victoria Station waving a fond farewell to aunt and child as they shoved off in Aunt Dahlia's car to Brinkley Court, her place in Worcestershire.
Toodle-pip, Aunt Dahlia! Toodle-pip!
Good evening, sir.
Jeeves.
Precisely, sir. I have brought the automobile to effect the conveyance of your luggage back to the flat.
I say, Jeeves, that's very white of you. Very feudal.
I endeavour to give satisfaction, sir.
Well, I'll take that one, Jeeves. No, the small one. Well, Jeeves, what news on the Rialto? Anyone been phoning or calling or anything during my apps?
Mr. Finknottle, sir, has been a frequent caller.
What? Mr. Finknottle?
Yes, sir.
You don't mean Mr. Finknottle?
Certainly, sir. The car is over here.
Oh, yes. Are you sure you got the name correctly, Jeeves? Finknottle?
Indubitably, sir.
Well, I'm blown. I'm blown, Jeeves.
So I understand, sir.
It must be 5 years since Gussie was in London, Jeeves. He makes no secret of the fact that the place gives him the pip. But until now, he's always stayed glued to the country, covered with moss and completely surrounded by newts.
I beg your pardon, sir.
Newts, Jeeves. Newts. Mr. Finknottle has a strong newt complex. Well, you must have heard of newts, Jeeves. Those little sort of lizard things that charge about in ponds.
Oh, yes, sir. The aquatic members of the family Salamandridae, which constitute the genus Mulgae.
Near enough. Well, Gussie's always been a slave to newts. He used to keep them at school.
I believe young gentlemen frequently do, sir.
I'm inclined to think there must be some mistake, and that this bird who was bobbed up is some different variety of Finknottle. The chap I know wears horn-rimmed spectacles and has a face like a fish. How does that check with your data?
The gentleman who came to the flat wore horn-rimmed spectacles, sir.
And looked like something on a slab?
Possibly there was a certain suggestion of the piskine, sir.
Well, then it must be Gussie, I suppose. But what on earth have brought him up to London?
I am in a position to explain that, sir. Mr. Finknottle confided to me his motive in visiting the metropolis. He came because the young lady is here.
What? Young lady, Jeeves?
Yes, sir.
You don't mean he's in love?
So he informs me, sir.
Well, I'm dashed. I'm really dashed. I positively am dashed, Jeeves. I mean to say a joke, but there are limits. Gussie falling a victim of the divine P.
Yes, sir.
He's been haunting my flat, you say?
Yes, sir.
Needed a touch of friendly advice, no doubt.
Precisely, sir.
Well, it must have been a nasty jar for the poor perisher when he found I wasn't there, Jeeves.
No, sir.
No?
No, sir. Mr. Finknottle did not call to see you, sir. It was I with whom he was desirous of establishing communication.
You? But I didn't know that you'd ever met him.
I had not had that pleasure until he called here, sir. But it appears that your friend, Mr. Sipperley, a fellow student of whose Mr. Finknottle had been at the university, recommended him to place his affairs in my hands.
Ah, I see it all now, Jeeves. The mystery is comped. You're acting for it.
Exactly, sir.
So what's his trouble?
I think it could best be described as a rooted diffidence, sir, which becomes especially pronounced in the company of the young lady. Mr. Finknottle informs me that each time he endeavours to formulate a proposal of marriage, his courage fails him.
I see. And yet, if he wants this female to be his wife, he's got to say so, what? I mean, only civil to mention it.
Precisely, sir.
Well, I suppose this was inevitable, Jeeves. I shouldn't think the poor fish has spoken to a girl for years. What a lesson this is to us not to shut ourselves up in country houses and stare into glass tanks. You can't be a dasher with the sex if you do that sort of thing.
No, sir.
On reflection, I must say I don't have much confidence in the unfortunate goof's ability to woo and win, Jeeves. Not much conf, I must say.
No, sir?
No, Jeeves. Especially if the girl he's earmarked is one of those tough modern thugs, all lipstick and cool, hard, sardonic eyes, as she probably is.
I have not met the young lady, sir, but Mr. Finknottle speaks highly of her attractions.
Did he mention her name? Perhaps I know her.
She is a Miss Bassett, sir. A Miss Madeline Bassett.
Egad, Jeeves! Small world, what? Well, she was at Cannes. Left a couple of weeks before we did.
Indeed, sir?
Yes. She and my cousin Angela struck up one of those effervescent friendships which girls so often strike up, if you know what I mean.
No, sir. I do not.
Oh. Well, they do. And I must say, Jeeves, this news has relieved my mind considerably. That the object of Gussie's affections is Miss Bassett, I mean. I confess that until you supplied this information, I was feeling profoundly dubious about the poor lizard's chance of inducing any spinster of any parish to join him in the saunter down the aisle. You will agree with me that he's not everybody's money.
There may be something in what you say, sir.
But Miss Bassett, Jeeves, is a different proposition. He's just the sort of chap a girl like Miss Bassett might scoop in with relish. How can I put it, Jeeves? Well, I don't want to wrong anybody, so I won't go so far as to say she actually writes poetry, but, well, dash it all, when a droopy, blonde, saucer-eyed girl suddenly asks you out of the blue sky if you don't sometimes feel the stars are God's daisy chain, you begin to think a bit, what?
So I would imagine, sir.
Absolutely. She's just the type for a dreamy, soulful bird like Gussie. If he can somehow be induced to get the low, burning words off his chest, they should hit it off like ham and eggs.
I am most gratified to hear it, sir.
Yes, Jeeves, in fine, this is a good thing and one to be pushed along with the utmost energy. Strain every nerve, Jeeves.
Very good, sir, and I will give the matter my immediate attention.
Righto, Jeeves. Oh, here we are. Oh!
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Jeeves. Now, up to this point, as you will doubtless agree, what you might call a perfect harmony had prevailed. Friendly gossip between employer and employed, and everything as sweet as a nut. But shortly after our return to No. 6A Crichton Mansions, Berkeley Street W, I regret to say there was an unpleasant switch. The first intimation I had that things were about to hot up was a pained and disapproving cough from the neighbourhood of the carpet. For I should explain, while I was toweling the torso after a much-needed rinse and gradually climbing into the vest, the shirt, the tie, and the knee-length, Jeeves was down on the lower level, unpacking my effects. He was holding, at arm's length, a white object, or more exactly, a white mess jacket with brass buttons.
sir?
Oh, yes, Jeeves? Something on your mind?
Yes, sir. I fear that you inadvertently left Cannes in the possession of a coat belonging to some other gentleman, sir.
No, Jeeves. The object under advisement is mine. I bought it out there.
You wore it, sir?
Every night. This year it's all the rage. Should I say to skilia chic, to attend binges at the casino in gent's ordinary evening wear trouserings, topped to the north by just such a mess jacket as you see before you?
But surely, sir, you are not proposing to wear the garment in England?
I anticipate a great popular success for this jacket. It is my intention to spring it on the public tomorrow night at Pongo Twistleton's birthday party, where I confidently expect it to be one long scream from start to finish.
But, sir...
Jeeves... This disposition of yours to dictate to the hand that feeds you has got to be jolly well checked. No argument, Jeeves. No discussion. Whatever fantastic objection you may have taken to it, I wear this jacket.
Very good, sir.
Right-ho, Jeeves. Dash the fellow. Even though I had forced the man to climb down, quelling him as described with the quiet strength of my personality, I was still feeling a trifle shirty with Jeeves when an hour or so later I toddled into the Drones for a bite of dinner. But all thoughts of presumptuous personal attendance were quickly dashed from my mind when, sauntering through the hall and nodding carelessly to Bates the porter, I observed that he was deep in conversation with what appeared at first sight to be the devil. A closer scrutiny informed me that it was, in fact, Gussie Finknottle, dressed as Mephistopheles, in scarlet tights and a pretty frightful false beard. But I own I was more than a bit nonplussed. I mean to say, this Finknottle, as I remembered him, was a sort of shy, shrinking goop who might have been expected to shake like an aspen if invited to so much as a social Saturday afternoon at the vicarage. And yet here he was, if one could credit one's senses, about to take part in a fancy dress ball, a form of entertainment notoriously a testing experience for the toughest. Gussie, what on earth are you doing here?
Oh, hello, Bertie.
I didn't know you were a member of the Drones.
No, quite. I'm a guest of Sippy's. I just popped in to ask him how he thought I looked, but he doesn't seem to be here. How do you think I look, Bertie?
Oh, frankly, Gussie, perfectly foul. Well, yes, well, however, anyway, you're off for an evening's pleasure.
Pleasure?
Well, aren't you looking forward to this rout or revel?
Oh, I suppose it'll be all right, Bertie.
Well, come into the smoking room for a spot.
A quick orange juice, perhaps. I must be off in a minute, though. I was just getting Bates to call me a cab.
Well, come on, then we can watch out for it from the window. Well, Gussie, old leper, I've been hearing all about you, and I should like to begin by saying that, in my personal opinion, Miss Madeline Bassett is, a charming girl. A winner, and just the sort for you.
You don't know her, Bertie.
Well, certainly I know her. What beats me is how you do. Where did you meet?
She was staying at a place near mine the week before last, and I met her out for a walk with her dog. The dog had got a thorn in its foot, and when she tried to take it out, it snapped at her. So, of course, I had to rally round.
But you extracted the thorn?
Yes.
And fell in love at first sight?
Yes.
Well, dash it, you rabbit, with a thing like that to give you a send-off. Why didn't you cash in immediately?
Oh, I hadn't got the nerve, Bertie.
Oh. Well, so what happened then?
We talked for a bit.
What about?
Oh, birds.
Birds? What birds?
The birds that happened to be hanging around. And the scenery and all that sort of thing. She said she was going to London and asked me to look her up if I was ever there.
And after that you didn't so much as press her hand?
No. Oh, no. Of course not.
Well, we must see what can be done. Things may brighten. At any rate, Gussie, you will be glad to learn that I am behind you in this enterprise. You have Bertram Wooster in your corner.
Thanks, old man, thanks. And Jeeves, of course, which is the thing that really matters.
Jeeves?
Yes. A mastermind, Bertie.
Really?
Yes, of course. I say, anything wrong, Bertie?
Oh, no. No, no, no. A lesser man might be slightly nettled by your implication that Bertram Wooster is a cipher in his own house, and the only member of the household with brains and resource is Jeeves. But the whole point about Woosters is that they are not lesser men.
Bertie, what's the matter? Have you and Jeeves had a row?
What? No, not a bit. Not at all. No, not a bit. And now, Gussie, harking back to your problem, tell me, what, if anything, has this Jeeves been doing about it?
He's been giving the position of affairs a lot of thought, Bertie.
Oh, he has, has he?
Oh, yes. It's on his advice that I'm going to this dance.
What?
Well, she's going to be there, and Jeeves considered I ought to go. Oh, look, there's my taxi.
That's not yours. So, this is Jeeves' idea, is it? And why are you not going as a Pierrot, may I ask? Like every other well-bred Englishman? Why this break with the grand old tradition?
Well, Bertie, Jeeves particularly wanted me to go as Mephistopheles.
Oh, he did he? He specifically recommended that costume.
Yes.
Ah!
Eh?
Nothing. Just... Ah! I find that pretty dashed ironical, I must say. Tell me, Gussie, why Mephistopheles?
Well, it's a matter of psychology, Jeeves said. He's a great believer in the moral effect of clothes, and he thinks I might be emboldened in a really striking costume.
Uh-huh. And are you?
Well, to be absolutely accurate, Bertie, old man, no.
No, Gussie, no. As one who threw ink darts at you and vice versa, that is to say, a very old friend, take my advice, don't go within a mile of this binge.
But it's my last chance of seeing her, Bertie. She's off tomorrow to stay with some people in the country. Besides, you don't know.
Don't know what?
That this idea of Jeeves's won't work. In a striking costume like Mephistopheles, I might easily pull off something pretty impressive. Well, colour does make a difference. Look at newts. I mean, during the mating season, the male newt is brilliantly coloured. It helps him a lot.
But you aren't a male newt.
I wish I were. Do you know how a male newt proposes, Bertie? He just stands in front of the female newt, vibrating his tail and bending his body in a semicircle. I could do that on my head. No, you wouldn't find me grousing if I were a male newt.
But if you were a male newt, Marilyn Bassett wouldn't look at you. Not with the eye of love, I mean.
She would if she were a female newt.
But she isn't a female newt.
No, but suppose she was.
Well, if she was, you wouldn't be in love with her.
Yes, I would if I were a male newt.
Oh, look, I have a feeling this discussion has reached saturation point. And anyway, Gussie, the salient point that emerges from all this is that you are booked to appear at a fancy dress ball. And I tell you out of my riper experience of fancy dress balls that you will not enjoy yourself.
It isn't a question of enjoying myself, Bertie.
I wouldn't go.
I must go. I keep telling you she's off to the country tomorrow. Oh, look, there's my cab now, Bertie. I must pop off.
But Gussie...
No, I must go. So long, Bertie.
Cheerio, old man.
So long. Bye. Cheerio.
And giving me the sort of weak smile Roman gladiators used to give the emperor before entering the arena, Gussie trickled off. As soon as he had gone, I made straight for the telephone booth in the hall, for the moment had arrived, as I perceived, for finally putting Jeeves in his place, and I was all for it. I mean to say, here he was, making heavy weather about my wearing a perfectly ordinary mess jacket, while in the same breath, as it were, inciting Gussie Finknottle to be a blot on the London scene in scarlet tights. Ha! Jeeves?
Sir?
Jeeves, I've just been having a chat with Mr. Finknottle, and he's been telling me about this Mephistophelian scheme of yours.
Yes, sir.
Now, let me get this straight. If I follow your reasoning correctly, you think that stimulated by being upholstered throughout in scarlet tights, Mr. Finknottle, on encountering the adored object, will vibrate his tail and generally let himself go with a whoop.
I am of the opinion that he will lose much of his normal diffidence, sir.
Well, I don't agree with you, Jeeves.
No, sir.
No. Jeeves, may I speak frankly?
Certainly, sir.
What I have to say may wound you.
Not at all, sir.
Well, then, not to put too fine a point on it, I consider that of all the dash silly, drivelling ideas I ever heard in my puff, this is the most blithering and futile.
Sir?
It won't work. Not a chance.
Sir?
All you have done is to subject Mr. Finknottle to the nameless horrors of a fancy dress ball for nothing.
Sir.
And this is not the first time this sort of thing has happened.
Sir.
To be quite candid, Jeeves, I have frequently noticed before now a tendency or disposition on your part to become... what's the word?
I could not say, sir.
Eloquent. No, it's not eloquent. Elusive. No, it's not elusive. No, it's on the tip of my tongue. It begins with an E and means being a jolly sight too clever.
Elaborate, sir?
That is the exact word I was after.
Thank you, sir.
Too elaborate, Jeeves. That is what you are frequently prone to become. Your methods are not simple, not straightforward. You cloud the issue with a lot of fancy stuff that is not of the essence. All that a non-starter like Gussie needs is the elder brotherly advice of a seasoned man of the world. So what I suggest is, from now onwards, you leave this case to me.
Very good, sir.
I shall no doubt think of something quite simple and straightforward, yet perfectly effective ere long.
No doubt, sir.
Righto, Jeeves. Good night, then.
Good night, sir.
What with picking up the threads and so forth at the drones, and chewing the fat with Pongo Twistleton about his forthcoming orgy, it was well after 2 o'clock when I finally got home that night. I can just remember groping for the bed and crawling into it, and it seemed to me that the lemon had scarcely touched the pillow before I was aroused out of the dreamless by the sound of the door opening. I was barely ticking over, but I contrived to raise an eyelid.
Oh. Ooh. Is that my tea, Jeeves?
No, sir.
Huh? And why am I being disturbed at such a beastly hour?
A telephone communication, sir, from Mr. Finknottle, sir.
Jeeves, I scarcely expected this of you. You were aware that I was up to an advanced hour last night. You cannot be ignorant of the fact that without the lubricating effects of tea, my brain does not function. And yet you come babbling to me of Finknottles. Is this a time for fink or any other kind of nottle?
But did you not give me to understand, sir, that you wish to take sole charge of advising Mr. Finknottle on his affairs?
Oh, yes, I did, didn't I? Well, one can't give the raspberry to a client, I suppose. Well, tell me about him, Jeeves. Gussie, I mean. How did he make out at the fancy dress ball?
He did not arrive at the fancy dress ball, sir.
Now, look, Jeeves, don't try me too high. Don't stand by my sickbed talking absolute rot.
I saw Gussie climbing into his cab, heading for wherever this fancy dress ball was. He must have arrived.
No, sir. As I gather from Mr. Finknottle on the telephone, he entered the cab convinced in his mind that the entertainment to which he had been invited was to be held at number 17 Suffolk Square, whereas the actual rendezvous was number 71 Norfolk Terrace.
Well?
On reaching number 17 Suffolk Square, Mr. Finknottle discovered that he had left his money, together with his ticket of invitation, on the mantelpiece of his bedchamber in the house of his uncle, where he was residing. Bidding the cabman to wait, accordingly, he rang the doorbell, and when the butler appeared, requested him to pay the cab, adding that it was all right, as he was one of the guests invited to the dance. The butler then disclaimed all knowledge of a dance on the premises.
And declined to unbelt?
Yes, sir.
Upon which...
Mr. Finknottle directed the cabman to drive him back to his uncle's residence, only to discover that he had also left his latch key on his mantelpiece.
Well, he could have rung the bell.
He did ring the bell, sir, for some 15 minutes. At the expiration of that period, he recalled that he had given permission to the caretaker, the house was officially closed and all the staff on holiday, to visit his sailor son at Portsmouth.
Good golly, Jeeves.
Yes, sir.
Well, what happened then?
Mr. Finknottle appears to have realized at this point that his position as regards the cabman had become equivocal. The figures on the clock had already reached a substantial sum, and he was not in a position to meet his obligation.
I should have legged it.
That is the policy which appears to have commended itself to Mr. Finknottle, sir. He darted rapidly away, and the cabman, endeavouring to detain him, snatched at his overcoat. Mr. Finknottle contrived to extricate himself from the coat, and it would seem that his appearance in the masquerade costume beneath it came as something of a shock to the cabman. Mr. Finknottle informs me that he heard a species of whistling gasp, and, looking round, observed the man crouching against the railings with his hands over his face. Mr. Finknottle thinks he was praying. No doubt an uneducated, superstitious fellow, sir.
What on earth did you do after that?
Eventually, after a trying night, Mr. Finknottle was apprehended by a member of the Metropolitan Police Force, and...
What? You don't mean he's in chokey?
Only as a protective measure, sir. Mr. Finknottle has not been arrested. He has just telephoned to inquire whether you could go round to the police station with a set of clothes for him.
Well, yes, of course. We don't want him parading London in scarlet tights during the day as well.
No, sir.
Gussie awakes my coming, does he?
Yes, sir.
Then you'd better lay out an extra suit of clothes for him.
Very good, sir.
Righto, Jeeves. Well, Gussie.
Hello, Bertie.
What ho?
What ho?
I hear you've been through it a bit.
Yes.
Thanks to Jeeves.
Oh, it wasn't Jeeves' fault.
Entirely Jeeves' fault.
Oh, I don't see that. I forgot my money and latchkey.
And now you better forget Jeeves, Gussie. If you'll be interested to hear, old man, that he is no longer handling your little problem.
What? You don't mean that Jeeves isn't going to...
Nope.
But dash it.
You'll be much better off without him, Gussie. Surely your terrible experiences have told you that Jeeves needs a rest. The keenest of thinkers strikes a bad patch occasionally. This is what has happened to Jeeves. He's lost his form, his grip. He wants his plugs decarbonized.
But, Bertie, I need Jeeves' advice.
On what point?
Madeline Bassett has gone to stay with these people in the country, and I want to know what he thinks I ought to do.
Well, as I say, Jeeves is off the case.
But, Bertie, dash it.
And I am in sole charge.
But what on earth can you do?
That we shall see. Sit down, let us confer. I am bound to say the thing seems quite simple to me. You say this girl has gone to visit friends in the country? It would appear obvious that you must go there, too, and flock round her like a poultice. Elementary.
But, Bertie, I can't plant myself in a lot of perfect strangers.
Don't you know these people?
Well, of course I don't. I don't know anybody. All I know is that their name is Travers, and it's a place called Brinkley Court down in Worcestershire.
Ha! Gussie! It was a lucky day for you when Bertram Worcester interested himself in your affairs. As I foresaw from the start, I can fix everything. This afternoon... No. Tomorrow. Tomorrow, yes. Better give her a chance to get settled in. Tomorrow afternoon, you shall go to Brinkley Court an honoured guest.
But, Bertie, you don't mean you know these Traverses.
They are my Aunt Dahlia.
My gosh!
Ah, you see how lucky you were to get me behind you? Could Jeeves have got you into Brinkley Court? Not a chance. Aunt Dahlia isn't his aunt. I merely mention these things.
By Jove, Bertie, I don't know how to thank you.
My dear chap, it's all part of the Worcester service.
And when I formulated the plan of campaign, Jeeves, Gussie quivered like a moose.
Well, I suppose it must always be rather a thrilling experience for a novice to watch me taking hold.
No doubt, sir.
And simple. You observed the whole thing? Nothing elaborate?
No, sir.
Nothing far-fetched, nothing strained or bizarre, just nature's remedy?
Yes, sir.
Yes. I feel thoroughly satisfied with the morning's endeavours, Jeeves. And to round off a perfect day, I have Pongo's birthday party to look forward to tonight.
Yes, sir.
You were wrong about that mess jacket, Jeeves.
These things are a matter of opinion, sir.
When I wore it at the casino in Cannes, beautiful women nudged each other and whispered, "Who is he?"
The code at continental casinos is notoriously lax, sir.
I'm convinced that you will eventually learn to love this jacket, Jeeves.
I fear not, sir.
Right-ho, Jeeves.
Very good, sir. incidentally, sir, there is a telegram on the hall table. Did you observe it as you came in?
No, I didn't. A telegram, is it? Right-ho, Jeeves. I can handle this.
Very good, sir.
It says, Brinkley Court, Worcestershire. Come at once, Travers.
Come at once? Come at once? Aunt Dahlia? What the... Jeeves!
What Ho Jeeves is produced by the BBC. Richard Briers is Bertie Wooster, and Michael Hordern plays Jeeves. I'm your host, Fred Callan. Senior producer for NPR Playhouse is Mary Lou Finnegan.